great opportunity for myself and for Angela. And when Eric asked, probably the first thing on my mind was it was a chance for you to get to know us a little bit. We've showed up here a few times. In doing so, my name is Mark Kennedy, and this is the brains of the whole outfit, is Angela. And we have a daughter, Bailey, and we also have a son, Dirk, whom you have not met. And we do have one new face. Have we met before? Oh, okay. We are the directors at Alaca Bible Camp down on the South Fork of the Clearwater, and this is our fifth summer being there coming up. We have been in full-time ministry since 2004, and days and times sort of run together for me. Before we were in ministry, I was a full-time whitewater rafting guide. We owned our own company, and then I was also a full-time hunting guide, and I did all of that for about almost 25 years, really. And the real ministry, or I shouldn't say the real ministry, we are missionaries to Alaca through a mission board called Open Air Campaigners. And Open Air Campaigners has been around since about 1872. It started in Australia and then came to this country through some missionaries in the 50s. And that's what this is a sketch board. And this morning, I will demonstrate some of what we do through OAC. And OAC and camping ministry come together a little bit, and then in other ways it's very different. Open Air Campaigners, the whole premise is we are reaching beyond the walls of our meeting places with the gospel. We're evangelists. There's about 30 of us within the United States, and then another 150 or so around the world of missionaries. And many times you'll see an OAC person join on with another mission group or something like that to help do outreach and whatever. And the other thing that we do at OAC is we train people how to go out and share your faith. And when we go out and do this, we're meeting a world that does not know Jesus Christ. And so one of the ways that we do that is we sort of relate to them, maybe on a natural level, and then swing to the spiritual would be one way to say that. And so we'll get to do that here in a moment. And the message that's up here is maybe one that you know, but maybe as a Christian you can go, there's something maybe I could use next time I'm talking to someone or sharing my faith with them. And you hear a fair amount about sometimes relational evangelism or the social gospel and things like that. Our lives should, in fact, reflect Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And in obedience to Him, our lives should reflect that. But I also believe that we need to open our mouths for the gospel. And Angela and I were not saved until about the year 2000. God saved us through reading His Word and revealing His Scripture. And so after He saved us, we said, okay, now what? And so here we are, standing at Cottonwood Community Church this morning and getting to speak about Him and what He's done in our lives. And it was not too long after. It was by 2004, we were on board with OAC. We went to Baltimore and served 3 years there. OAC has a requirement of serving in an established branch for at least 2 years, and we ended up there for 3 years and doing ministry full-time. In OAC, we go out on the streets and highways and byways. You may see us on a street corner. You may see us on a college campus. You may see us in a city park. About 50% of our ministry was with kids' Bible clubs and programs, and as well as just going to college campus, doing open forum, and things like that. And we use the sketchboard as a winsome way to present the gospel. Our intention was, at that time, was to move back to the Northwest, because this is Angela is from the Northwest. I've lived here in Idaho since 1985. If you notice a little character in my voice, that's because I lived in Texas most of my life until I moved here, or half of my life. Now, see, time goes by quickly. But I always say I never lost the character in my voice. So they think I talk funny there and talk like a bunch of Yankees, and you folks think I talk like some goofy guy from the South, which is true. But anyway, in the process of that, God sort of rerouted us, and we're on God's training program. And since we're on mission with God and for God, God said, you know what, I think you need to go to this Bible camp. And he did that through a series of opening and closing doors and meeting people, and it's just pretty miraculous how God directs things and orchestrates things. And so we've been there, and we are still on his training ground for sure. And so we've been allowed to serve there. And ALACA is an acronym for A Lighthouse in Christ-Centered Always. And the camp provides a couple of things that are very important. It provides a place for Christians to come and serve and express your salvation that way. As a volunteer there, it's all volunteer staff. There's no paid staff at ALACA. As I say, Angela and I are missionaries. We raise support through churches and individuals as well. And that's the way the camp is supported. We don't buy anything at the camp until the money's been raised and paid for. So it's all in the clear. This last year, we had a grand total of $1,300 left over. So the Lord provides exactly what we need. The year before was $17. So the Lord continues to work there. We needed some new water well work done just a few weeks ago, and the Lord raised up people who provided for that. So it's amazing to watch God work there. And not only, though, is it providing a place for Christians to come and serve and have that opportunity, it's also providing a place where people come, adults and children. They come and they get many of them are hearing for the first time a clear gospel presentation. Over 50% of the kids that come through that camp are unchurched. And of the 50% that are churched, I'm not always so sure about how sound the churches are or the teaching they're under or what that really means. Sometimes they call themselves churched and they showed up at Easter and Christmas. So the work there is very important. And it's amazing to watch how God places. We depend on volunteers, but he raises up the right people for the right situation. I love to tell a story about a man a couple years ago. He had never even been in a camp before in his life. 72 years old. His name is Lee. And he certainly had never been a cabin leader or anything like that. And we were down to a couple of days before camp was starting. We did not have enough help. And I started calling pastors. And one of the pastors I called, I said, we really need help. He said, well, I'll do something. So essentially what he did was he got on the phone and he called people and he said, guess what? You're going to ALACA this week. And one of those folks he called was Lee. And Lee was very apprehensive. He's like, I've never even been to a camp. How can I go and even serve there? And then I think he's thinking, maybe I'll just be in the kitchen. Maybe I'll just be doing some of that others. He gets there and he finds out he gets to be a cabin leader. But you know what? There was a young man in his cabin that week who showed up with the dark hoodie on and the dark sunglasses and was really mad at the world and everyone else around him. But Lee was able to meet with him. And I noticed after a couple of days, the young man's hood was off. And then his sunglasses were off. And then he was smiling. And the Lord had used Lee in such a powerful way in that young man's life. And Lee got to be there and got to see God save that young man. And come to find out, this young man was so angry because only a few weeks before that, his father had walked out and left he and his mom. And he thought, how can I come and trust somebody you're calling father with anything? But Lee was able to speak in that young man's life in a way that only Lee could, from his own experiences and things like that. So God uses people. So what I'm saying is, I have a wonderful place for you to come and serve, and the Lord will use you. And I tell people, you do not have to be a biblical giant to show up there to work. You only have to have a heart to serve God and to trust Him in what He has for you, and He'll do great and mighty things in your life during that time you're at Alaca. So, anything else big? We have some. We do like to have people pray for us. So I brought some brochures and things this morning. You can take those home, stick one of these on your refrigerator. Maybe it'll remind you that you could pray for us. We still have several events coming up this summer. The next one will be middle school camp, and then after that, the elementary school camps will be following right after that. We also have rental groups that come and rent the facility, and we, as a matter of fact, we just finished with one of those groups, and folks can rent the camp for their functions or whatever, as long as they meet with our statement of faith, and it's a pretty basic statement of faith. So do be in prayer for us, because it is a battleground where we are. It's a spiritual warfare every day, even when we don't have a camp event. Angela and I have to get up every morning, or get to get up every morning, and walk into a battle. And spiritually, and people are not always very cooperative and things like that, and sometimes they're extremely cooperative. But so pray for us in that. Anyway, with what I have up here on the board, this is going to help if you participate a little bit. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to participate. I jokingly said we get to paint by numbers, so in a way we really are. And I'm going to finish my puzzle. And remember, I'd like for you to, as you're Christian sitting here, you may go, well, I sort of already knew some of that stuff or things like that. Think of yourself maybe before you were saved. Maybe you can't even remember before that. But think of someone who's out here on the street who maybe, oh, they may have heard about that Jesus guy a little bit or something like that, or they have some presupposition that there is no God, different things like that. And so we try to keep things very basic and in what we do, and we try to relate to them. This comes back to relating to someone. You don't have to get to know someone for 2 or 3 years before you present the gospel. I would say if you do that, it can get a little tougher to even present the gospel. I think you can get to know someone within a few minutes, or relate to them on some level in a few minutes, to where you would be able to say at least something about Jesus Christ. And so anyway, we're going to play a little game to get us going, but I got to finish filling in some numbers here. Something's growling back there. Is that our coffee?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll try not to take us past coffee time too much. So, what we have here is some numbers, right? And what we want to do is play a little game and add up a few things, and we're going to learn a principle from this. So if I could have someone out here just call out a number, any number that's on that board. Participation?
22.
Oh, there we go. Finally, thank you, young man. So this is how this is going to work, okay? So he chose 22, so I want to circle that 22, and I'm going to put it over here in this column, okay? And I am not very good at math. I went through all of the fundamentals of math all the way through high school and barely made it out of that. So you will have to help me this morning with this. But here's, to do math, 2 plus 2 is what?
4.
Whew, I was getting worried there for a moment. It's 4, but there's a certain principle to that. If you put 5 on your paper, then it's wrong. But what we want to do is make sure we do our mathematical equation right. So it will call for crossing out everything in the columns with that, okay? And what's going to be pretty neat about this is we're going to end up choosing 6 numbers, any 6 numbers, as long as they're not crossed out, and we're going to add those numbers up and come up with an answer. But here's the thing. I already know what the answer is going to be, and it's going to be 111, okay? So are you ready to play this game? You kind of got that? Let me hear another number. 15. Okay, number 15. I think she's probably trying to trick me, but we're going to do it anyway. So we have number 15. We cross those out. Cross them out in this column and this column. Let's have another number.
Seven.
Oh, the good old lucky number 7, right? So we have our number 7. We'll put it over here in the column. Cross out everything that way, this way. Hopefully I'm doing this right and it'll come out right. If it doesn't, then it'll be wrong. Okay, let's have another number.
Two.
Number 2. They're trying to trick me for sure. Oh, we'll get those little bitty numbers and it'll never, ever, ever add up to 111. So we cross out everything that way, and this way. We're starting to narrow the field down a little bit. What have we got left up there? 35. Oh, can't have 25. It's marked out. Maybe one of those that's not marked out yet. I love that number. That's one, could have been one of my favorite numbers. You never know. Okay, so we've got that. And what this is going to do is leave us with one number, so you don't get to choose this one whether you wanted to or not. And that leaves us with what? 36, right? Now this is the hard part for me, is because we really have to add this up, and we have to add it up right to get the right number or the right answer. So we have 5 and 2.
7.
7 and 7.
14.
14 and 2.
16.
16 and 9. 25 and 6, 31. So we have our 1 and we take our 3. 3 and 2 is 5 and 1. 6 and 2, 8 and 3, 111. So we did our mathematical equation right. We came out with the right answer. That's the answer we wanted. And yes, you can do this at home. So, but just like there's one answer here, you do this right, and you go, the right things have happened. Just like there was one answer there, there is really one answer to this other sketch I have under here, and you're going to find out that I am really not an artist by any stretch of the imagination. All I do is put up a few little scribbles and things like that, and we find out what we have here. And so the first thing I want to do, though, is have you do a hard, this is a hard thing. We kind of need to do this together. So here's the, if you look at the yellow, you're going to see some words appear, okay? So what does that say so far?
Let's.
Oh, good. I'm spelling pretty good so far. There's a lot of other things to spell on this board. Hopefully we'll get them right. If I don't, oh well. We'll get over it. Okay. So what does that say? Let's think. So let's think about this for a minute. Think about this as sort of a riddle. We're going to solve three riddles here, basically. And so as we think, what do I have right here? Lips. That's right. We have some quiet people out there. This is the one church service where you don't really need to get too charismatic, but you can yell out things. So we have lips. So if we have lips plus a frog equals what? Now you've read the stories. What happens when someone kisses a frog?
Prince Charming.
Ah, there we go. You have Prince Charming shows up. So here, let's just put us a little crown up here to represent. So here's the question. If you do that, or if you read that, what type of story is that? Can anybody tell me what type of story? Very good. You know, this audience is getting sharper this morning, right? Hopefully, this is that spell thing for me again. And we'll make sure we get it, try to get it right. Like I say, if we don't, I usually don't get too upset. So we have a fairy tale. So we've solved this first riddle. Okay, now here's the second riddle. Okay, and you're going to have to see, this is the artist part that's really not art. What do I have? We got a clock, right? So if we have just fill this in. We'll just see how smart you really are. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? That would be the question, I suppose. So what do I have? If you were going to just read that out, what does that say? What's a clock? There you go. Time plus chance equals a frog, right? Now we know that. Is that right? And so there's a lot of people that call that science, right? Is that not what a lot of folks say, that time plus chance equals a frog or a preacher equals science? That's science. And we had a fairy tale up here. I would say that time plus chance is really that type of story. All right, Christian, think about this for a minute. You're out there on the street, you have all of your presuppositions, you have all of your thinking, and I say this. What do you think the world's reaction is to that usually? I usually get some pretty good discussions going pretty quickly. Right? Because time plus chance equals a frog is not a fairy tale, it's a theory tale, is what it really is. How about this one, ladies and gentlemen? God plus something equals truth. What's right here? Nothing. God plus nothing equals truth. God needs nothing. He never learns anything new. He knows everything. He knew it all before the foundations of the world. God needed nothing to create. He spoke, and it was. God plus nothing equals truth. And this is where the world stumbles tremendously. And you know what? You can present all of the evidence and all of the things you want to out there for and against evolution, whatever you want to do. But the bottom line is, what is truth? What is really true? Well, just to back up a little, out on the street, I would not necessarily do this. This goes back to presenting the gospel to people. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Up in verse 14, though, this is where, Christian, I am under obligation to both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. As Christians, we need to be eager to proclaim the gospel. Now, you may not stand up on a street corner and do this, but you have an area of influence which God has given you and has put you in, where you can influence this world for the gospel and in proclaiming that truth that is there. Some other scripture. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Here's the thing. Some of you may be sitting there going, you know what? I don't know all that stuff about evolution or how to defend that. I don't know all of the history of the church. I don't know all of those things. But you know what you have? You have one of these. You have a Bible. You have God's Word. How many of you are ready to hear the audible voice of God? Are you? Are you ready to hear God speak? Well, if you want to hear God speak, stand up and read this. This is God speaking. The power of God to salvation. You can present all of the arguments in the world you want to, and all of the evidence is for this book, and there's plenty of them. That's not what wins the day. What wins the day is God's word, His victory. He had victory on that cross. So don't be intimidated by a world, because they have some great arguments out there. I don't deny that. I've stood on college campuses and they can fire some pretty, you know, pointed things at you, and you go, that does kind of make sense. But God says it's about my gospel. He has destroyed the wisdom of the wise, right? So this is the truth. The truth is that 2,000 years ago, God showed up. And the truth is, mankind once again showed Him just what they thought of Him. They drove nails in His hands and in His feet and put a crown of thorns on His head. And Jesus Christ died on the cross right that day. We read last week here about descriptions of that and what He did. And there was victory that day, but it did not stop there. What sets Jesus Christ apart from every other religious leader that's ever walked the face of the earth, and every other rebel that walked the face of the earth, or whoever you want to say is great, what set Him apart is that on the third day, His friends came to take care of a dead body. But the truth is, Jesus Christ defeated death. The wages of sin is death. He took on our sin on that cross and died for our sins. But He rose again the third day. Victory in Jesus. The power of Jesus' name. I was reminded this morning when we sang that song, Hail, the power of Jesus' name. And I was reminded of a story, something that happened. I was preaching on a street in Baltimore. I was in sort of an inner city setting. And it was one of those days when I probably shouldn't have been preaching. It's one of those days when I hadn't prayed like I should. I was probably about half mad at about 10 different situations that had come. And so I dragged myself out there to go set up and to go preach. And I phrase it this way, I was in the flesh that day. And I have a sketch that sort of hits on each of the, I know lots of these things, it hits on each of the religious systems. And as I preach this, I'm thinking the whole time, why am I even out here today, Lord? I don't even care, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was not my most stellar day. I was not preaching as I should have been. But part of that sketch is, kind of the last part is I put the name of Jesus up there in block letters just like this. And as I put the name of Jesus up there, I turn around and I look up the street about 60 to 70 feet. And there was a woman walking down the street. And she just stopped and she looked at that. And then I saw the tears begin to flow. And when I saw that, I knew I was wrong that day. Because I just ended right there. I think I did. I went ahead. I put the cross and a very brief gospel, and I walked straight to her. And her first words were, "I'm so tired." Well, when she had walked down the street, and this is our mighty and powerful God, in spite of who Mark Kennedy is, before the foundations of the world, God knew that Rosalind was going to be walking down that street. Rosalind was a meth addict. Rosalind had more baggage than any of all of us maybe put together, I don't know. In our view, in God's view, we've all got a lot of baggage. But he had orchestrated from the foundations of the world that she would be walking down that street, and on that day she would see the name of Jesus. And so she and I were able to stand there and talk, and I got to stand there on holy ground as God saved a woman. Just by seeing the name of Jesus. Because it was not by my eloquent speech. In this verse it says, eloquent wisdom. It was not my eloquent speech. For whatever reasons or whatever my attitude was that day, in some little glimmer of light, I was faithful that day and went anyway, no matter what my feeling was. No matter what your feeling is, you wake up in the morning and you listen to God and you study and you learn what you can about Him and you speak with Him and you talk with Him and you walk out into the world each day and you represent Him. And when you have opportunity, you speak. If you want to see a prayer answered pretty quickly, you say, "God, show me someone I can witness to today." You are in such perfect will of what He has. It is God's will that you do that. You're going to have someone. So be ready. Right? So God equals truth. And this is what we want to present to the world. As my job as an evangelist is to edify and train the saints. I can teach you how to do a sketchboard. I can teach you how to use some object lessons. What's in this? What do you see in there?
Well, besides myself, not much.
You know, I bet you some of you girls, when you got up this morning, you looked in one of these, didn't you? You looked in a mirror. And when you first looked in that mirror this morning, you went in there and you went, whoa. Because you got to see what damage was done overnight, right? And when you looked in that mirror, it showed you what? Showed you what was wrong. So you brushed your teeth and combed your hair and got a little more presentable for the day. And I'd looked in the mirror this morning as well, and this is the best that could happen. So here I am. You did not take that mirror down off the wall and scrub your face, did you? The mirror simply showed you what was wrong. You know, and God's law is that way as well. Got them backwards. God's law shows you what is wrong. It is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. It is what brings the world what they begin to understand, that they are a sinner. God's law does a lot of things. It defines who He is and that He's holy and righteous and perfect. It defines who you are and that you are not. You can't keep those laws. You can try, but if you've failed in one, you've failed in all. You've broken the whole law. And because you're a sinner, because the world is sinners, this is the truth that they need to know. Right? How much time we got? Are we over?
As much as you want.
Okay. Well, you're worthy of one more if I've got it. What do I have here? You know, it's most people go, it's a mouse trap. I'm telling you, if a mouse got in that thing, it wouldn't be nice, would it? So, you know, the rat comes along. Somebody got a finger? Oh. So, you know, he comes along, you have that cheese there, and it gets him, right? So, here's the thing I want to demonstrate for you is that how much faith do you have this morning? How much faith do you have in me this morning? Okay, so what I need is a volunteer to come up and set this trap off with your finger. And trust me when I say, oh, it won't hurt you. You don't trust me? You've asked me to stand in the pulpit this morning, and yet he does not trust me.
It only goes so far.
So who is willing to come up and trust me when I say, it won't hurt you? There's someone.
Zeke was your atheist.
I was going to say,
Zeke.
Yeah.
He looks like she's close to getting up.
Are you ready? Okay. Now, are you right or left-handed?
I'm right-handed.
I better use your left. I want none of this, you know, quick stuff. I want you to slowly... Oh! I need you to slowly push that down. Can you do that? All right. Very good. Go sit down. Why did you do that? I want to know. Why did you trust me? You know, I mean, Angela spotted you right. Oh, Natalie is ready. Why did you even do that?
Because he said it wouldn't hurt me.
And why would you trust me? You don't know me. She don't know me that good, does she? What were some of the thought processes you had, though? I mean, why did you trust me? Okay, pretty simple. Simple truth. Here's the bigger question. Why didn't the rest of you jump up to run up here and do that?
Didn't want to.
Scared? Fear? You know, fear is not a bad thing. The world says fear. You're using fear tactics. See, Jesus said, weigh the cost. And in one little sense, with this rat trap, you all sort of weighed the cost. It may have ranged from, I don't know if I really trust him. Angela won't do it. She has seen me do this hundreds of times. She still won't do it. Not even my own wife has faith in me. That'll tell you something, right? But there's a range of things that went on. Who is this goofy guy doing this? There's no way I'd go up here and do that. I don't want to be embarrassed. I mean, you have any number of reasons why or why not you might do that. What are all of your reasons why you won't go share your faith? What are all of your reasons for not walking the walk? Think of those things. Where is your faith? Is your faith really weak? If it is, you know what? It needs to be strengthened. And guess what? There was someone who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's what a lot of times this is. We don't really believe what God has to say. Because if we really did, then we probably wouldn't end up down many of the roads that we do. Right? Ask God to help you with that faith, with that trust. And yeah, don't just trust anybody with a rat trap. It's just so, sort of a fun way to demonstrate. Because Jesus said, weigh the cost. But weigh the cost of not following him and not stepping out and trusting him. I think that when Peter denied Christ three times. And then in Luke, we have it recorded that Jesus turned and looked at him. Wow. That was a hard day for Peter, but we get to see where things went from then on, though, because we know that Peter did trust his Savior. And the church began. And Peter preached with power. Can you imagine throughout his life, he thought back on all of those things and it went through. And so that just leaves a hope for us, does it not? So, yeah, I think it's okay to maybe beat yourself a little bit and say, you know what, I really should have said, or I should have taken opportunity to. Okay, Lord, that's done or not done. Let's move forward. I want to move with you. I want to be on mission with you and for you. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for this day. And Lord, we all fall so short. Lord, I pray for your encouragement.